When we try to teach our neighbors about God's salvation, the subject of baptism comes up. And why is that? Well, our Lord taught in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. When we talk about baptism to our neighbors, and even when we quote or show them in Scripture what Jesus taught, what the disciples taught, the question is usually asked, well, what's water got to do with it anyway? Well, sometimes we may struggle to answer that question. Some answers may be, well, water really doesn't have anything to do with it. Some would say, well, water does have a lot to do with it. Then some would say, well, water just has just a part to do with it. Well, what do you say? Well, I think maybe we struggle from time to time to explain to folks that we certainly don't just believe in water only. But we certainly don't believe that you can leave the water out. So as we think about that aspect of salvation, I thought today that we would talk just very simply about God's means of deliverance. And we're going to look at, and I'm showing you here on this particular chart, is a timeline from creation up to today. And what I want to emphasize to you, basically, are the three different dispensations of time, commonly referred to as the patriarchal age, the Mosaical age, and the Christian age. And what I'd like to be able to do today is today's lesson will help us, I hope, understand God's use of water and the salvation of His people. And my guess is you've heard this kind of lesson before. Maybe you have not. But a couple of things I want to illustrate for us today talk to us today about is that we have a number of young people here, and we have a really sharp young people. They go to Bible classes, they study, they learn about these great Bible stories. And even after we do our very, very best to describe to them and talk to them about these great Bible stories, it's upon each of us as teachers to connect the dots for them. Recently, someone said to my wife, when she was talking to them about a Bible story, and the student said to her, "You mean that they actually lived? That was real?" I think sometimes our students become very well versed with Old Testament events, even New Testament events. One thing we have to stress to them, it was real. It really did happen. And so we need to make it real to our young folks. Well, it needs to be real to us old folks too. It needs to be real to all of us to understand that the things that were written in this great book was written so that we might understand how God deals with man. And we're going to see today that God has used water in each of the three dispensations to deliver His people. So that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning, and I hope that it'll be helpful and beneficial to you. Well, let's start off, first of all, with a very familiar story. And yes, young folks, yes, old folks, Noah was a real man. He really existed. This is not just a story like Humpty Dumpty. This is a story of a real man that was a servant of God. Now, what we learn when you go back to the Genesis account, and there's lots of passages that we could read this morning, what I want to concentrate on is that you are familiar with the two stories we're going to illustrate. Not going to read a lot of those passages, but I'm going to make reference to those passages. Understand that there are many passages that we could read about this. But I want to make sure you get the overall picture of how God has delivered His people. Well, first of all, you remember back in the Old Testament that the world became very, very wicked. In fact, it became so wicked that God was sorry that He had created man. And His thought was He would just wipe out all of men. But there was this one man. His name is Noah. The text says that Noah was the kind of man that God decided that through Noah He would save mankind. Even though the world had become so violent, so wicked, so corrupt, this one man stood out above all the other men. And what we see in Scripture, we find that Noah receives a command of God to build an ark. Now God, He creates this event. And it was a worldwide event. God tells Noah, I'm going to destroy the whole earth with a flood. And when you go back and read the story, you might see that as far as we can tell from the text, it had not ever rained upon the earth prior to this. You say, well, how did the earth get watered? Well, the text talks about the dew that would come each morning and water the ground. The Scriptures talks about that when the flood came, the rains came and the floods came, it was something that was not yet ever seen. Most of the time we just want to attribute that to the flood, which is true, that it never happened. But I think it's also in reference to this terrible rain. So when Noah, for 120 years, he preaches and he builds an ark and he obeys the command of God. God gives him the dimensions, He tells him what kind of wood, and He tells him to build it. And so Noah does that. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their three wives. Eight people. They work for about 120 years. Now you think about that. There are a number of us that have projects in our house or projects on our property. And we've been working on that and been working on that for how long? How long is it, much longer is it going to be before we ever get that project done? Now you think about the project out in the backyard. You're Noah and it's a big boat. And you've been working on that for 120 years. Right? Well, Noah obeyed God's command. He does everything that God tells him to do. In fact, the Word of God says specifically that Noah did all that God commanded. He built that ark. Now, when we look at that great story, the thing that stands out is that Noah is saved. He and his whole family. Now, there's something very important about this story. And it's a real story. The gathering of the animals. God certainly had some hand in that to bring the animals to Noah. And there may have been that Noah had to go out and get some of the animals. But all of these animals come and they get on this ark. But Noah and his family had to get in the ark. Had Noah just built the ark, because God commanded him to, put the animals on the ark, but he and his family didn't get on the ark, they wouldn't have been saved. They'd have drowned. But they had to get in the ark. And they did get in the ark. And the text says that God closed the door. God closed the door. And when God closed the door, nobody else could get on the ark. There was a time when there was no more time to get on the ark. The Scripture says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to the people for 120 years. Who did he save? His wife, his three sons, and their three wives. After 120 years of preaching. Now, if I might just use that as an illustration, we might become a little bit discouraged ourselves because we preach or we teach and we try to help other people to see the truth. And maybe it seems like we're just not getting through to anybody. That must have been very discouraging for Noah. It must have been very discouraging for his family. It must have been very discouraging for the fact that when they got on that boat and God closed the door, they knew that everyone else was going to be destroyed. You remember that great story? That's an awesome story. The world was wicked. God commanded them. There was obedience by Noah and his family, and they were saved by water. Pretty simple story. Now turn in your Bible just for a moment. We're going to look ahead just a little bit and give you a help to understand that God wasn't just thinking of the salvation of His people in Noah's day, but New Testament writers made the application. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice in the text. Let's start at verse 18. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which He also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. Verse 20, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Some of your versions say, and were saved by water. Did you get that? Now that's a reference to that real event, that real person, Noah, and God saving mankind. Right? Now notice where the Apostle Peter goes with it in verse 21. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now somebody says, you're trying to teach them about being saved. And they say, well, what's water got to do with it? You know one passage you could go to? 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. And what would you tell them? Well, just like God used water back there in the old days, in Noah's time, to save man, God uses water today. Now you have to point this out as well. It was by God's grace that Noah was saved, right? God commanded Noah. Noah had to hear God's word, and he had to believe it, and he had to obey it, just like today. And when he built the boat, he had to get in it. He had to actually do what God said do. And when he got in the boat, God shut the door, God sealed it, God delivered him. Now, if you can see Noah being saved by God, by water, you can understand the gospel plan. Now, that's God making that analogy. Now, every one of you as parents need to make sure your kids understand that. That's what it's written for. That's what it's there for. And every one of us need to be able to explain that to our neighbors. Because that's exactly what the answer is. Well, why is water so important? We find it out from Noah. All right, second example. Israel's deliverance while they were in Egypt. Now, what is significant here is that Israel was in Egyptian bondage. Now, we've been on Sunday night studying about Joseph. Now, during Joseph's time, we're just now getting up to where he's being put in charge. And there's going to be 7 great years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine, right? It's during those 7 years of famine that his folks back up in Israel are going to need food, and they're going to come down to Egypt and get food. Well, when all that happens, you recall the rest of the story? That Joseph's family moves to Egypt, and they wind up staying there 400 plus years. But after Joseph dies, then begins the book of Exodus. And the book of Exodus says that there was a Pharaoh who rose up who did not know Joseph. And where was Joseph? He was dead. But the children of Israel were in the land of Goshen, and they were just growing and multiplying like stars in the heaven, like sand upon the seashore. Now that is a real story. Those are real people, real lives in a real place. Okay? Now, the Egyptians became afraid of the Israelites because they were getting so big and mighty in number. So they decided to make servants out of them. And they put them into slavery. And for these centuries, they served the Egyptians in slavery. And the slaves, the children of Israel, began to cry out unto God. And so God wanted to deliver His people. Remember that story? Yeah, we've taught that in Bible classes, haven't we? We've studied that with our kids. It's a great story. But what does it illustrate for us? It illustrates to us a very important point. The children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage. Right? What we understand is that God called upon Moses to go and say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Now remember, Moses didn't want to go, right? He made excuses and all that. There's a lot to that whole big story. But let me just say this. When God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, remember he saw the bush that was on fire? It was on fire, but it was not being consumed. If you saw something that was burning up, but it wasn't being consumed, that would strike your interest, right? Moses went up to see it. God said unto Moses, "You're standing on holy ground, take your sandals off." He took his sandals off, and God spoke to him through the angel that was in the bush, that was burning and not being consumed. And God spoke to Moses, "I want you to go to Egypt and set my people free." Remember that story? That's a great story. Is Moses a real guy? Yes, sir. He's just as real as Jimmy Glass. In fact, he may look just like Jimmy Glass. He may just look like him. Probably, though, had a great big old beard. Right? Big old beard. Had a big staff that God gave him. Or had him to use. And what could he do with that staff? You remember that? He could throw it down. And what would it become? A serpent. Right? That was all real. So we find out that God commands him to go, and he goes. And we find that what happens is that Moses believes and obeys God. He goes there. And you remember that it took some convincing for Pharaoh, right? Took some convincing. Oh man, did God do some convincing. Not only the staff that would turn to a serpent, not only a hand that would become leprosy. Remember that? Moses could put his hand in, which is good. Bring it in, put it in his cloak. Bring it back out and it'd be full of leprosy. Put it back in his cloak. Bring it back out and be white and clean. I mean, all clean from the leprosy. Remember that? But then the plagues, the great plagues. And I should remember all these and I don't. So I wrote them down so I remember them. You know, the Nile to blood, the frogs, the lice, the insects, the pestilence, the boils, the hail, locusts, darkness, and the death of the firstborn. You remember all of that? That really did happen. What was God trying to do? Well, if you go back and read the story, each one of the plagues was associated with an Egyptian god. The Egyptians worshipped all of these things, including the Nile. And so God showed His great power over all of the gods of Egypt by bringing their god upon them. You follow that? God is controlling all. What was the message to Pharaoh? "Let my people go." What was the question Pharaoh asked? "Who is God that I should let His people go?" Well, God showed Pharaoh who God is. Okay? Pharaoh lets them go. The children of Israel are traveling. They get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh changes his mind. Gets all of his soldiers. Gets his chariots and chases after them. Right? God destroys them in the Red Sea. Moses, this is a great picture. Can't you just envision that? The people are griping. The people are complaining. "We should have stayed back there in Egypt. We might have been slaves, but we had plenty to eat. We didn't have the Pharaoh and his soldier going to come down and kill us." Moses extends that staff, and the Red Sea just parts. These great winds blow. God demonstrates His great power. and the lamb was dropped. Now you can imagine taking a sea and parting the water. The ground would have to be mushy and muddy, right? Notice what the text said. The children of Israel went across on dry land. Was it miraculous that the land was dry? Yes. Was it miraculous that the waters were divided? Yes. Who did that? God did. What if the children of Israel just stood there on the shore and say, we ain't going to be saved by no water. What's water got to do with it? What did water have to do with it? It was a part of God's great plan, was it not? Children of Israel walk across on the dry land. The guy on the other side, Pharaoh, I guess, thought, well, if they can walk across on dry land, we can go across on dry land. And they went across. And what happened when he and the soldiers went across? The waters came and killed them all. Were the children of Israel saved by water? You know, the great story that we see here in all of this is that God delivers Israel. And because there was bondage. Now I want you to get a correlation here. In Noah's day, the world was in sin, right? This story talks about bondage. You know what the New Testament says about sin? The bondage of sin. God commanded them what to do. They obeyed God. And they were saved by water. Turn in your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice verse 1 and 2. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers, who were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Do you see that? Do you know those verses were there? Well, what is the referencing to by Paul in verses 1 and 2? He's talking about, was Moses real? Yes. Did all of that event happen with the dividing of the Red Sea? Yes. Were the children of Israel saved from the bondage and the wrath of Pharaoh? Yes. By what? By the water. It saved them. Now what does Paul call it? The baptism of Moses. How about that? Well, when we come to the New Testament time, now notice we've covered Noah was during the patriarchal age. Moses and all that, the Mosaic age. Now let's look to the Christian age. How God delivers man. Are we not well aware of the fact that all men are in bondage to sin? It's all around us, is it not? Turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul talks to us about all of this in verse 17. Romans 6, verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now you can go back and you can think about the children of Israel. When they were slaves of the Egyptians. The imagery that is presented to us is that when they were freed from Egyptian bondage, from Egyptian slavery, the children of Israel were then the slaves of God. You see that? They became servants of His. They became a kingdom unto them. But notice, for each of us, that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what are we? We're part of that wicked world, Noah's day. We are in slavery, Moses' day. Today, we are sinners. And what's going to happen? In this bondage of sin, we're going to die. So what has God done for us? Well, what God has done for us, He calls us by the gospel. The gospel is God's call to all men. We see back there in Noah's day, God called through Noah for man to be saved. In the Mosaic time, God called through Moses for man to be saved. Now, God calls through the man Jesus Christ for us to be saved. You see the analogy? You see the point? It's a very simple thing. And when we look to the Word of God, we find that man must believe and be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just a short period of time ago, Abby, she heard the call of Jesus Christ. This gospel, this right here, this Word of God, called unto her. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. You know what she did about that? She believed in Jesus. Just like Noah's wife, Noah's three sons, their three wives, believed what Noah was preaching by the grace of God. What did they do? They all got in a boat. Just like in the days of Moses, when Moses raised up the staff and God told Moses to tell the people you can walk across on dry land and be saved from your enemies. What did the people have to do? They had to actually walk across the dry land. They had to go to the other side in order for God to save them. What did Abby do? She went back here in one of these little rooms. She put her clothes on, changed her clothes, met me up here at the top of the steps, and she got down in that water. Well, what in the world has water got to do with it? Do you see the point? I tell you what water's got to do with it. Because God uses it in His great plan. And it didn't all of a sudden just go magically pop up. God has been trying to demonstrate for centuries how man is to be saved. And what's so important about that, all of your sins can be washed away. This young lady right here, Elizabeth. We sat down with her and her husband, Ethan, and we studied the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. That they realized that they needed their sins forgiven. You know what's quite ironic about that story? I think the McIntyres had already been talking with them and all of this. And Elizabeth, smart girl. Ethan, smart guy. They already knew about all of this. And when I got together to talk with them a little bit about that, they already had their clothes in the truck. They already had their clothes. They already knew what they needed to do. They already had made up their mind. But when we talked to them about God's Word, I didn't save them. But God saved them. What did He save them with? Well, the means by which He washed away their sins was getting in that water. That's why Elizabeth changed her clothes back here in the same place Abby did, got up there in that water, and I baptized her. Why? What's water got to do with it? Because God commanded it. Now, if you can see that about Noah, if you can see that about Moses, you can see that about Elizabeth. And you can see that about Abby. And a bunch of others in this auditorium that I don't have pictures of all of you. But that's what you did. Sin is bondage. We've all been instructed from God. It takes faith and obedience. As long as you continue to sit there and do nothing, here's what you'd be like. You'd be like the person back in Noah's day, sitting up on top of a hill, calling Noah names and saying he's an idiot and he's a fool because you're just going to sit up there on that rock because you don't believe God's going to do any such thing. And then when God shut the door and it started raining, you would be saying, I made a big mistake. And then it would be too late. Can you think of the thousands of people that said in just a short period of time, it rained for 40 days. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. Can you imagine how many times and how many people said, I wish I'd have listened to that old man and got on that boat. I don't know that there's any record of any child of Israel that stood on the shore and did not go across on the dry land. But just out of just plain old simple reasoning, what about any person that has stood on that shore and would not follow Moses, would not have followed God's law, and went across on the dry land to the other side, what would have happened to them? Do you understand that God wants to deliver you today? How's He going to deliver you? Well, you need to understand you're a sinner. You need to understand that God has commanded you to obey Him. And you need to understand that when you are baptized into Jesus Christ, that's not all there is to it. You have to hear Him. You have to believe Him. You have to obey Him. You need to repent and turn from your sins and confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And when you're baptized, you arise to walk in newness of life. That's the salvation story. I hope that you really didn't think that God just came up with water at the last moment. This great book is all about how God is going to deliver man. And you know what He's basically done throughout all of time? He's required of people to do the exact same thing throughout all the ages. Listen to Him and do what He says, and God will deliver you. All of those that try not to listen to God and try not to do what God said, God is going to destroy. Well, that is about as simple as I know how to make it. I hope and pray that if there's a single soul here today that is not saved of God, that you will think very seriously about your soul. And if I might just reemphasize one more time, do you not understand if you will not obey the gospel now, you'd have been the same person standing on that rock, not willing to go into the ark? Because it's the same kind of heart that denies what God says do. Song of encouragement is selected this morning. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?